Over these last Sunday and today and then next Sunday and also Christmas Day, do remind you of the Christmas Day service at 10:30. It'll be a short family service. I encourage you to come along to that. We'll be looking at the songs of Christmas, different songs in the Bible which tell the heart of the Christmas message. And today we're going to be looking at Zachariah's Carol, which was read for us so well. Boom! Zachariah got an even more amazing shock than that. He was in the temple, and indeed he was serving there, and we see an angel appeared to him. And the angel told him that he was going to have a son. Now, Zachariah was terrified, but he thought this was absolutely amazing because he and his wife Elizabeth couldn't have children. They were really old at this age, and yet the angel was saying that this was going to happen. This was the angel Gabriel. Zachariah wouldn't believe this. And so we see in the next picture, the angel said to him, "You will not be able to speak until the baby is born." So for the next 9 months, Zachariah was able to say nothing. And then the time came and the baby was born. And you see the next picture, the baby was born, and they asked Zechariah, "What will we call the baby?" And he wrote on a piece of paper, "His name is John," which means the Lord is gracious. The Lord does lovely, kind things. And when he wrote that down, he was then able to speak. And one of the first things he did, boys and girls, when he was able to speak, was he shared this lovely song, which we had read for us here today. And in this lovely song, it speaks about two baby boys. It speaks about John, who Zachariah was just born to him, and also the baby Jesus. And what we're going to do today is learn four things that this song says about Jesus, and four things what it says about John. So let's see what it says about Jesus, first of all. The first thing Zachariah said in the song is that Jesus, he would redeem his people. And to redeem means to buy the freedom of someone who was a slave. Do you remember the children of Israel? They were slaves in Egypt for many, many years. They couldn't get out of there. God sent Moses, and they had the 10 plagues. And then the last plague was the death of the firstborn. And through those plagues and the final plague, God bought the freedom of his people. And the blood was put over the doorpost of the children of Israel to keep them safe. And in the same way, Jesus, God's firstborn son, would die on the cross so that we could be free from our sin. So this baby Jesus would redeem his people, get us free from our sin. The second thing he said is that he would be a horn of salvation. Now that's strange, man. Somebody calls you a horn. Well, in those days, horns were used, first of all, to anoint kings. When David was made king, Samuel poured oil from a horn onto his head. And this Jesus to come would be a great king who would rule forever. He's ruling now in heaven, boys and girls. He is a king who rules. But also, horns, we see in the next picture, horns were used by animals as their weapons in order to fight against their enemies. And Jesus had come to fight for his people. Now, he wasn't coming to fight with a horn or a sword or a spear. He was coming to fight with a life that was full of love and purity. He was coming to fight by dying on the cross. He was going to fight in a different way. The third thing with Jesus is that he would keep God's promises. For hundreds of years before Jesus was born, boys and girls, God had been making promise after promise after promise. For those who have been at church the last few weeks, can anybody remember many promises are there in the Old Testament about Jesus coming? Is Jonah? Over 300. Brilliant. You were listening well. Over 300 promises. And there was one very special promise made to this man in the picture, Abraham. God promised that his descendants would be as many as the stars in the sky, and he promised that there would be a descendant through whom all the world would be blessed, that from his family, Jesus would come who would bless all the world. It took many, many years, boys and girls. And the people waited. You find it hard waiting a few weeks for Christmas? A few days now? 9 days, is it? They had to wait for hundreds of years. But at the perfect time, God sent Jesus to keep his promise that he made to Abraham and Moses and to others. And then the fourth thing about Jesus, he would rescue his people from their enemies. And our greatest enemy is the devil, who in the Garden of Eden caused Adam and Eve to sin and causes us all to sin. That sin which Adam and Eve had separated them from God. Sin keeps us away from God. And Jesus has come to fight, to deal with sin, to fight against our enemy, the devil. He would defeat him on the cross, so that indeed that we could be brought back and be God's friend. So four things we learned. Let's have a wee recap. First of all, Jesus would redeem his people. He would buy them their freedom. He would be the horn of salvation. He would be the great king who would fight for his people. He would keep God's promises about the Savior who would come. And he would rescue his people from their enemies. This Jesus, boys and girls, is someone we have to trust in for ourselves. No, it's no good, boys and girls, just your mummy and daddy trusting in. You have to trust in this Jesus for yourself. Have we a picture to show you someone? Somebody tell me, hands up if you know the next picture, who this person is. Hands up if you know. Okay, Johanna. Cruella de Vil. That's right. It is Cruella de Vil. And she is like, look at her, the end of her name. She is like the devil, isn't she? There's a wee song about it. Now, could somebody tell me, what is the really bad thing that Cruella de Vil wanted to do? Yes, Eva? To kill the puppies. She wanted 101 Dalmatians to kill them and to use their skin to make a lovely big coat for herself. She was bad, wasn't she? And she went and she kidnapped all those puppies. But in the end, the puppies were rescued and the Cruella was covered in all sort of tar and stuff and all that sort of stuff and really, really messy. Now, in many ways, boys and girls, Jesus has come to rescue us because the devil keeps people as his slaves and he wants to kill people. The way Cruella wanted to kill a little puppy, Jesus wants to destroy us. And the only way that we can be rescued is through Jesus. But imagine in the story of Cruella that when the puppies were being rescued, one of the wee puppies says, "No, I don't want to be rescued. I want to stay with Cruella de Vil." Do you think any of the puppies would say that? If a puppy said that, you think, that is absolutely crazy. She wants to kill you, to turn you into a coat. Don't stay with her. And yet, boys and girls do something as silly. Because if we don't come to Jesus, we're staying with the devil. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy us. Okay, well, let him do it. If you stay with him, you will allow the devil to ruin you for now and forever in that place called hell. So don't be like a silly puppy who would stay with Cruella. They all ran away from her. We need to run away from the devil and run to Jesus. So four things we learn about Jesus. Then let's think of four things we learn about John, who was born to Zechariah. The first thing is he will prepare the way for Jesus. John would be the great preacher, John the Baptist. He would teach the people about their sin, how they've been bad against God. He would teach the people that they need a Savior. And it's only when people would learn about their sin, boys and girls, that they then would know they needed a Savior. Now, John's preaching, boys and girls, was scary. He preached about sin. He preached about judgment. It was scary preaching. But this is what was needed before the Savior would come. People had to learn that they had a big problem. So must we. The second thing is John would then give knowledge about salvation. John would teach people how they would be saved. He would teach about two things they had to do. They would have to repent. Boys and girls, we're born walking away from God. And we have to turn around, away from our sin, and turn back to God. That's what it means to repent. And John said to people, you have to turn from your sin. Turn around. Turn back to God. Then he said, the other thing is, they had to believe in Jesus. He said Jesus is the Lamb of God, the Lamb who would be sacrificed. He would die on the cross to rescue them. You have to trust in Jesus. And boys and girls, that's the two things we have to do. Turn from our sin, turn to God, and trust in Jesus to save us from our sin. So John says that. So he taught people about their sin. He taught people how they had to be saved. Then the next thing was he would bring light into the darkness. Sin blinds people to the truth about God, about Jesus, about themselves, about sin, about salvation. People are blinded. Do you ever get up at night, boys and girls, and maybe there's no light on, and you're walking across your room, and you trip over those shoes that you left out or something else? You're stumbling when you're blind. The Bible teaches we're all made blind by sin. Weak question for you. Now, I don't want you to answer this out loud, okay? But I want you to answer this in your mind. When you think about Christmas, who excites you more? Santa or Jesus? I don't want you to answer that out loud, but be honest in your own mind. And if you are more excited about Santa than Jesus, there's something wrong. Now, it's okay to be excited about Santa, but we should be far more excited about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the God who made the world. Jesus is the one who keeps us alive every day. Jesus came into this world. He lived a perfect life. He died so that we could be rescued from our sin. All those things no Santa could do. And Jesus is the one who can bring us to heaven. Now, if we are more excited about Santa than Jesus, we're blind. We haven't come to see how wonderful Jesus is. John, through his teaching, would teach the people the truth about God, about Jesus, how they would be saved from their sin. So people would get excited about this wonderful Savior. And then the fourth thing, he will guide his people to peace. Boys and girls, we were thinking last month about 100 years since the end of the First World War. You think about wars and battles. Boys and girls, they're never nice. When I was growing up, there's a program I used to love to watch on TV called The A-Team. I mean, not the film, but the program. There's a difference. And my mum used to like watching The A-Team. And you know why my mum liked to watch The A-Team? Because there was loads of shooting, but nobody ever got shot in the A-team. There were terrible shots and that. So, but war isn't like that. War is something awful. War is something terrible, something very, very painful. But the Bible teaches us, do you know who, because of sin, we're at war with, boys and girls? We're at war with the devil. The Bible says, because of sin, God is people's enemy. And we're his enemy. And the only way that we can be right with God, the only way we can be friends with God, the only way we can be at peace with God is through Jesus dying on the cross. Do you see the gap between people and God? Jesus is the bridge which brings us to God. The only way that we can be God's friend and God will not punish us for our sin is that Jesus would die to chase away God's wrath, his anger for sin. This is what John would teach people, how they would be at peace with God. So let's remember the four things that John taught. Let's say them again. He will prepare the way for Jesus, teach people about their sin. He will give them a knowledge about their salvation, teach them about how to repent and believe in Jesus. He would bring light into the darkness so that they know the truth about themselves and God. And he will guide them to peace that they would trust in Jesus. Boys and girls, it's okay listening to this, but have you come to trust in this Jesus? Let me end with a story. Let's see a wee picture up here. There's a wee vase, okay, or a vase or a vase, depending where you come from. Okay. Now that wee vase is 40 centimeters tall, so it's about that, okay? And there was an old man who lived in London, and this vase was in his house. And then he died. He had no family, and his house and all the possessions in the house were left to his niece and nephew. And they decided to get this vase valued to see if it was worth anything. And they took it to a man, and he said, I think that's worth a lot of money. That's really old, and it comes from China many, many centuries ago. So they took the vase to an auction. Do you know how much it was sold for? £43 million. Wow. I worked out I would have to live 40 lifetimes before I would get £43 million. There was this old man living in a house with something so precious, so close to me. Maybe he saw it every day. It is something if he had sold, it could have changed his life. He could have bought a lovely new house. He could have had servants. He could have traveled all over the world. He would never have had to work again. This was so close to him. But he didn't realize how precious it was. And you know, this Christmas time, boys and girls, Jesus is going to be very, very close to you, because Jesus is here today. He is the one who can change your life. He can rescue you from your sin. He will become your friend, help you through life, and bring you to heaven one day if you trust in him as your Savior and Lord. He is so close, and he's so precious. Don't be like the man with the vase who fails to see how precious the thing was. Don't you fail to see. And see, mums and dads. People say the big problem with Christmas is that Christmas has become so commercial. That is not the big problem of Christmas. The big problem of Christmas is so sentimental. Ah, we like the little baby in the manger. But we don't want the Savior who died on the cross. Don't be a fool. The greatest gift of all is offered to you. This Christmas time, say yes. How do you receive this gift? The way I love to put it, A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus is your only hope through his death on the cross. And C, and come to him and confess him as your Savior and your Lord. May this be the best Christmas at all. If it's the first Christmas, you come to know this Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much just for being with us here today. Thank you that Jesus is here. The most precious one of all is here with us. And Father, we just pray for the boys and girls and mums and dads and grannies and grandas that we will not neglect the greatest gift that we need, who is offered to us this Christmas time. And grant that indeed, that from what we have learned from Zechariah's song about Jesus, about John the Baptist, that we would be drawn even now to accept him as our Savior, as our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.